We thank you for the grace to reverence you. That is pleasing unto you. Honor you. Adore you. For you alone and to your throne is what? Father, thank you. And as we reverence earthly kings and earthly leaders, Father, help us to learn how to reverence you even from our hearts. We thank you. You are worthy, Lord. Father, thank you for your manifestation, Spirit of wisdom, and revelation. Open the eyes of our understanding as you speak to us, that we might not only know and understand the riches and the glory of our divine inheritance, but we'll have a steadfast heart, the place of obedience and faith. Thank you so much for this season and for this moment in our lives. Receive glory and honor. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
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 Designing or having understanding of a season will empower you to be happy and to have a victorious mindset. Amen?
Amen.
But when we don't understand the season or design what the season is, we can be miserable and defeated. So it's important for us to understand seasons and understand what God is doing. Amen?
Amen.
There are people whose business boom when there is war, while others are falling apart. Their kingdom is rising. Today, as we are on day, 14? 13. Moving, taking one day at a time. I believe the momentum of our time of consecration is increasing. Amen?
Amen.
And so, the things you'll be hearing going forward from now are going to be prophetically impacting, challenging, empowering. I want everybody, by the grace of God, that cause Mount Zion home, to live in this season with not just a victorious mindset, but knowing this is their hour to prosper. This is God's time. And God's time is God's people's time. I shared last night what it means to really understand God's time. The reason why I'm very happy about this season is because it's God's time. I'm not going to go into that, what I mean by God's time, but we are living in God's moment. Amen?
Amen.
And I'm excited. Amen. So, today, I want to begin to prepare our hearts and minds to start thinking. So, thinking with a victorious mind. Thinking, knowing who you belong to, who you are, and understanding this time is for your benefit. Amen?
Amen.
Prepare our hearts and prepare, just to give you some indication. The moment Jesus came here, by the way, brother, well, I just, you all look so good with this uniform, beautiful clothes. Amen. I need to take a picture with you today. So. Amen.
Amen.
The moment Jesus came, from the moment he started speaking or teaching or preaching to the end, the emphasis that he made was on the kingdom of God. Amen?
Amen.
You're hearing the voice of a young prophet, so don't be distracted. Amen.
Amen.
It was all about the kingdom of God. He did not just come to preach the kingdom or teach the kingdom. He lived out the kingdom. He represented the kingdom. He expressed the kingdom. He made a statement. He says, he made several statements in the direction we're going this morning. He said, at one point, the kingdom of God suffered violence. But the violence, what? Taken by force. He made another statement. He said, the thief comes not but to what? Steal, kill, and destroy. But what? I have come to give life, and not just life. Life what? Overflow. Amen? He also made one statement. He says, I have come to destroy the works of the devil.
Amen.
Amen? He categorized every work of darkness under Satan as the work of the thief. Meaning the thief is not the owner. Amen?
Amen.
The thief doesn't own anything else. So if you find out you are the owner, you do something to get it back. The thief is afraid of the owner. That's why it comes to steal by night. So, I want you to understand a few things, because we are entering into a transitional process in this time of consecration. Not just this fasting, the reason we God led us to call this fast, but we are about to enter the seventh month of God's time calendar. And in the seventh month is the moment of a fullness of timing of something and a beginning or a transition to a new beginning. So we're entering into the seasons of transition proper. Amen?
Amen.
We have seen the beginning of this season with COVID and all that was happening. But we're entering into a transitional process where new things are about to be uncovered. And the more we enter into more shakings and more transition, the more glorious the church, the true church, will be manifested. So, transitions are clear in the spirit. Amen? And that's why God gives us understanding by the Spirit, so we see by the Spirit, and then we preach by the Spirit and not the letter. So to prepare our hearts to some of the things I want to bring to your attention for expectation in this time of consecration, I want to let you know that Jesus preached the kingdom of God. And the only way to understand the kingdom of God in the earth, you have to go back to the foundation. You have to go back to the beginning to get a picture of the kingdom we belong. Amen?
Amen.
Because this can, you can be walking from point A, and all of a sudden things happen, And instead of going, the kingdom is going this way, there can be a deviation all this direction. And then you are so deviated, and you're in the midst of a generation here, and this whole generation think the kingdom is this deviation, and they don't really understand the kingdom has lost its path. So the purpose, the word repent is return to the path of the kingdom. Repentance is a restoration process that begins from us that have deviated. And once you are fully aligned to repentance, then God himself now restores us back to the path of the kingdom. That's what repentance is. So, we are repenting, we are seeking God these 40 days. How does this season empower you to receive the things of the kingdom? Repentance must have fruit. That is a definite change, a definite turning to back to righteousness. So before we go into that, so you go back to the beginning of the kingdom, a few examples is this. David in Psalms 8, a man with so much revelation, was experiencing the activities of the heavens. And he said, God said, he started hearing the angels discussing with God. And they said, God, what is man that you are mindful of him? So mindful. I mean, look at these little things like ants in the earth. Why is your focus on man? Why have you given? What is this? Why are you so mindful of man? In Hebrews, it says that angels desire to peep into the activities of God and man. Amen?
Amen.
What is man you're mindful of? To give you the reason why God is mindful of man and why God is limited in some things he can do without man is this. Why the angels? There are three major levels of spiritual operation. There is what they call the throne room of God, which is the third heaven, where the throne of God is. That very throne, there is no controversy who God is, who rules the earth, who is the creator. There is no darkness. There is no competition for power. There's only one ruler. It's very clear from that realm. Then there's the realm where the fallen angels are, Satan and those fallen angels, called the second heaven, what they call wicked spirits in the heavenly realms. That realm is the realm that angels come through to and fro to the earth and execute the things and the purposes of God. Even in that realm, the angels of God, there is no controversy who is in power, who rules, who is in control. The angels of God are flaming fires. They are ministers from the throne room of God. There's no limit to their power and what they can do in their assignments. Amen. Then there's the realm of the earth. Every of this realm are connected to the throne room of God. And everyone is under the kingdom of God. So the realm of the earth, God created man and gave man from the very beginning dominion and authority to oversee the earth. Amen. And God is not a bypasser of authority. So, since he's giving man rulership of the earth, he not only gave man rulership, but he made man in his own image and likeness to be like him, to come right out of his DNA process. And the whole purpose in the context of where we're going this morning was for man to oversee the earth and every activity of the earth, in relation to representing the kingdom of God. Amen?
Amen.
So the very foundation of the kingdom, coming all the way from the garden, coming from the very foundation of man, the kingdom of God was given dominion. Adam. They were given power. They were given authority to rule and to reign. Amen?
Amen.
The first deviation from that was sin. The moment man sinned, Adam was ruling. The moment man sinned, there was a deviation from the path of righteousness and the place of rulership. And so Satan now started usurping, stole that power, stole that process, stole and then started putting man in a condition under him. When I say man, I'm talking about in connection to the kingdom of God. So therefore, so in every generation, the Bible now says the earth is covered with darkness. The God of this age now has blinded the minds of men. Why? So that they don't understand there was a deviation and the kingdom of God has never changed in power. So, every generation somebody rises here and the person repents and begins to seek after the spark, begin to seek after God, begin to cry out. All of a sudden, when God realigns the person here in that generation, that person begins to reveal again the position of God in the earth, dominion and power. For example, you see the days of Joseph. He was realigned. When Joseph came here, Joseph ruled over the kingdoms of the earth. He was advising Pharaoh. He was the father of Pharaoh. And Pharaoh was the strongest man in that time of the empires. The greatest king submitted himself to the one that was here, Joseph. So, a generation comes, all of a sudden, the backslid that did not really know this path that Joseph took, and the Bible says they came under slavery in Egypt. The world, Satan dominated, and they entered into a position that was not, does not reflect the position of the kingdom. And then, that generation finishes serving the dimension of their sin for 400 years. There was a repentance process that started with Moses, and Moses was realigned back to this path. And as soon as Moses got on this path, God says, again, you're going to reflect the kingdom. What did he do? He brought Egypt to nothing. One man that was walking where God has put. He went back to the path God has laid as a kingdom. Egypt was reduced to nothing. Pharaoh was reduced to nothing. And Moses, from the power of walking in this path of righteousness, brought captives, brought people afflicted, brought people in poverty, brought them out of captivity, brought them out of bondage, brought them out of poverty, brought them out of sickness back into the path of wealth and restoration. And it continues like that. People deviate. This generation follows them. And then God realized until Jesus came and said, and really represented the kingdom. And then finally repented on behalf of the world and died for the sin of the world and was crucified and did a final job of finally, whatever happened from that garden was finally destroyed. The power of sin and death. And Jesus forever, through his blood at this line, restored a part of righteousness to give everyone that becomes a son, a daughter, a path of dominion and place of righteousness. Amen?
Amen.
Repentance. So, when the angels are asking, what is man? The fallen man, the Bible says, is vanity. God says, man is but a dust. Man is this, man is that. But the man that has accepted the righteousness and in covenant with God, that man is not an ordinary man. He's a citizen of heaven. It's one that talks with God, walks with God, not by the flesh, but by the Spirit. Because flesh and blood cannot inherit the things of the Spirit, of the kingdom. So, having said this, in this part that God raised up, both for individuals and for spiritual people, God decided to raise up a nation through the loins of Abraham's covenant. And that nation, as you all know, is Israel. So Israel, as a nation, entered into this path. And because they are now entering into this path, they became a covenant people with God. And God established the blessings of that covenant. The dominion that comes with that covenant. The authority that comes with that covenant. Everything God would do for individuals, he did it for the nation of Israel. Amen?
Amen.
But even as a nation, there was a deviation that comes to the generation that walks away from that path. And when Israel deviates and leads a whole generation through this path away, what happens to Israel? They come and they are now subjected back to the afflictions, the things of the world, the power of Satan, the domination of the rest of the world. Israel becomes nothing anymore. Then when Israel, God says, if my people, give them a recipe for restoration. Say, if my people that are called by my name will humble themselves and seek my face and turn from this wicked path, turn back here. God says, I will hear from heaven. I will forgive all that sin. And I will heal everything that has happened. And when that is complete, they are back again. And whenever Israel is back again here, again their position and their place in the world is clear. These are the people of God. Not just in words, not in material things, but in power. Amen?
Amen.
So, something like that happened in the days of the book of Joel. Israel has departed so much. And from this illustration I'm giving, they are now come this way. And in the days of Joel, that generation did not understand why. How come we have God, but how come we are here under the affliction of the enemy? Under sickness, under bondage. Our crops are gone. There is no rain. Our wine is gone. Everything is gone. Life is miserable. Our family. Why are we suffering if God is here? If God is our people. So they cried and the thing was getting worse. You read the book of Job. See, even their enemies was oppressing them as a nation. Anything they did was not prospering. It was like God was against them. So what happened? The people didn't understand. Just like every generation, there's nothing new under the sun, like it's happening to us today. God gave them a recipe. The solution of the church, the problem of the church can never be solved by the right or the left politician. The Bible says, if my people who are called by name will humble themselves, the solution comes from above. Everyone that aligned themselves with God, they became a solution to the confusion in the world, but not to try to use the world to solve sinful problem. Amen?
Amen?
So when Israel was in this situation, they were crying and going all about. It took a prophetic awakening, the book of Joel. In the days of Esther, he took a prophetic awakening when the wicked was about to wipe them out. He took a prophetic awakening for them to come into what it would take to change the atmosphere. So that's why Joel said, and I'm about to read it to you, what it takes, and when God brings them back here again. Anytime you want to see God move in a personal life, in a family life, in a city, in a nation, you must not just confess that you're going to live here and come here. There must be fruit that will bring you here. And once you come here, leave the rest to God. It's all through the Bible. So the reason I'm excited about this season is because there's a transition that we're positioning ourselves and we're heading back here once again. And we're about to see what God looks like when the church is back here. Because when we are here, a few people get blessed, this get blessed, you break, you're struggling. I mean, not that everybody, you know, blessing here and there, but you don't really see a clear picture of what an open heaven looks like when you're walking on this path of righteousness, holiness. So this path, the lions can't, nothing can touch you because you're walking with God. So the book of Joel gave, you remember what God spoke to Solomon? So when they were going through this, this is what Joel said. And I want to read what Joel said, what they did, and how God responded. And that's what I'm about to expect in this holidays if there's fruit in what you are doing. So let's read Joel chapter 2. I'll read from verse 12. Therefore, also now says the Lord, turn. Everybody say turn.
Turn.
See? You see why he says turn? You get the picture. Turn you even to me. With what?
All your heart.
These are conditional breakthroughs. God is saying not some. He's saying all. Turn you even to me with all your heart. How do you do that? With what? Fasting. And with what? Weeping. How many of you so far has wept over your sin? Or ever the things you're struggling with? That's as we go forward, God will reveal things that will make us be broken.
Yeah.
With fasting and with weeping. And with what? Mourning. Amen?
Amen?
You know, when you're on this path, you might not know the problem, but God starts showing you. You see where you are. You see why, what is happening. You see the reason. And what the enemy, you see you're separate. There are things God will show you. Start saying, God, why you begin to? You now start getting more. You become more desperate. Whatever it is, God, I want to come back and bring my generation back in. So this is what Joel did. Turn you even to me with all your hearts and with fasting and with weeping and with mourning. Bend your hearts and not your garments. James says, just don't be hearers only. But apply what you hear and do. Turn your hearts, rend your hearts and not your garments, and turn unto the Lord your God, for he's what? Gracious and what? Merciful, slow to anger, and of what? Great kindness, and repented him of what? So he's making it very clear that no matter how far we have gone, God is always like the prodigal son waiting for us to come back. He's just waiting so much to get us back here to receive all that he has for us. He's just waiting. He doesn't like us being there. He doesn't like what we're going through being there. So he said, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, of great kindness and repented him of the evil. Who knoweth if he will return and what? Repent. And leave a blessing behind him. Even a meat offering and a drink offering. And basically these are the things shows there's a limitation in the provisions of serving in the temple of the Lord. Now, Joel said, we found a solution. So we got to do something about it. Blow the trumpet, what? In Zion. Consecrate the people with a fast. Call a holy assembly. A sacred, a solemn, meaning serious-minded mindset for repentance, for change. Amen?
Amen.
Gather the people. That's what we've done. Sanctify the congregation. Assemble the elders. Amen?
Amen.
Gather what? The children. Easy. And those that what? The nursing babies. And we have some of them here. So we're doing the right thing. Let the bridegroom go forth of his chamber and the bride out of her closet. Let the priest, the minister of the Lord, weep. Amen?
Amen.
Pastor Emmanuel is always weeping. I know. Let the priest, the ministers of the Lord, weep between the porch and the altar. And let them say, spare thy people, O Lord. And give not thy heritage to reproach.
Jesus.
That the lost, the hidden, the world, the pharaohs and the Nebuchadnezzars and all the politicians,
Jesus,
and all the soothsayers, all these people of the world,
Jesus,
should rule over us. Wherefore should they say among the people, where is their God? You see why repentance is so powerful. Then, because Joel has done the right thing, this, or they do, if they fulfill this, fruitful, they bring forth fruit out of repentance. This is what Joel is saying prophetically based on the promises of God. God's part is not a problem. Since what he's saying, he says, verse 18, then would the Lord what? Be jealous for his people. Mercy will come. See, this, if you read the Bible, you see this is the pattern of things. Whenever there's repentance, you see God comes right away with mercy and grace. So it says, then the Lord will be jealous for his land and pity his people. What will now God do? He begins to respond. This is the result of true, genuine repentance. This is what happens from here. Verse 19. Yes, the Lord will answer and say to his people, behold, I will send you corn and wine and oil. You shall be satisfied therewith. I will no more make you a reproach among the heathens, but I will remove far from you the northern enemy. Anywhere you read through the Bible, the northern enemies, they are fierce, they are wicked, they don't pity. This kind of enemy. That's why somehow, you know, Lucifer always wanted to sit at the north part. For some reason, Islam just likes nuts all through the world. In different countries. Yes, I will answer and say to them, behold, I will send you corn and wine, and you know, I will no more make you a reproach among heathen. But I will what? Remove far from you the northern army, and will drive him into a land that is barren and desolate, with his face towards the east sea, and his hinder part meaning he will spank him so hard towards the uttermost sea, and his stink shall come up, and his ill savour shall come up, because he has done, that word greed is done, wickedness. Then he says, fear not, O land. Why? Because they've lived in fear. Fear not, O land, be glad. I will soon share these points with you. Be glad, for the Lord will do great things. Be not afraid anymore. The beasts of the field, for the pastures of the wilderness do spring. Even their enemies were living in fear. For the trees beareth our fruit. The ground is receiving rain. The fig tree is the vine who use their strength. Be glad then, you children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he has given you the former. In other words, whatever is done here, before you went here, when he restores you, he says, I will do even more.
Amen.
He says, I've given you the former rain moderately, and I will cause to come down for you the latter. After repentance, in the first month, the former and the latter, meaning overflow. And verse 24 says, and the floor shall be full of wheat, and the fat shall overflow. It's called the anointing for overflow. Overflow with wine and oil. And I will restore to you the years that the locust has eaten, the cankerworm, the caterpillar, the palmerworm, the great army which I sent among you. And you shall eat in plenty and be satisfied, and praise the name of the Lord your God that has dealt wondrously with you. And my people shall no more be what? Ashamed. And you shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I am the Lord your God, and none else. And my people shall never be what? Ashamed. And it shall come to pass afterwards that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall what? See visions. And also upon your servants and your handmaidens in those days will I what? Pour out my spirit. There's no male or female, no bond or slave. And I will show forth wonders in the heavens, in the earth, blood and fire. And they just went on the sun. And then at the end, verse 32, it shall come to pass, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as the Lord has said, and in the remnant whom the Lord has called. So God is saying, from what I read for you, and I want to show you something very soon, from the very fall in the garden, the greatest fear of Satan is a repentant generation. Satan's greatest nightmare is for you to repent, to turn back. Because he knows when you turn back, you're back into God's plan. You're back into authority. So he keeps that pride and keeps people locked in pride. Even when they are going through unspeakable things, keep people divided, keep people in that condition. That's why God told Solomon, the first thing you must deal with is pride. My people who are called by my name will humble. A lot of the things we go through personally, individually, corporately, sometimes for years without knowing, pride is keeping us from seeing why. From what I just told you now, you can see when we repent and come on this path, the Bible says God will not withhold anything good thing. It doesn't mean you won't go through trials, through tribulation, through sufferings, through things, but you are under an open heaven. You are an overcomer. You'll be victorious because we live in a fallen nature. So, I want to list a few things out of this scripture that everyone seeking a godly repentance should expect God to do. It's an expectation that cannot be denied. I always tell people this every fast, every time we sought God. I'm not saying it in pride. I'm saying it as a way of inspiration and humbling. I don't remember any season we consecrated ourselves, I don't see a blessing after that. And it doesn't have to be material. It can just be peace. It can just be healing. It just you know when you experience, especially spiritual growth. Open doors. Because there's no way you repent that something doesn't feel what was taken away. So, as we are in this season of transition, seeking the face of God, repenting. And sometimes in this repentance, it might not even be you that caused the problem. It might even be your forefathers. So that's why when you repent to cover generations when it's needed. Amen?
Amen.
So, Joel chapter 2. Now that they've repented, I want to read to you, as you take notes on these things, things you must expect if there is fruit in repentance. It must happen because the Bible says God is gracious, is kind, is merciful. Everything is ready to restore. So this is what the Lord said. Verse 18. We'll start from verse 18. Verse 18, as soon as repentance is done, the first thing the Lord will do is the Lord will bring you back again with jealousy. God will become jealous of you. That love he has for you comes back like the prodigal son. He now is like the jealousy of the Lord is stirred up upon your life, upon Israel, upon the church. That's verse 18, that's one. Two, verse 19. You start hearing from the Lord again clearly. You start getting answers to the questions you ask. Your prayers will start getting, says, call unto me and I will answer you. I will show you greater. You start receiving fresh revelation, unctions, clarity, directions. God will begin to answer. Yes, the Lord will answer. And God will begin to speak to you, begin to give you direction, begin to tell you what he's going to do. Amen?
Amen.
And the children of Israel, as Pharaoh was chasing them, God told Moses what to do in that moment. Because Moses had a clear open heaven. Number 3, verse 20. But I will remove far from you the northern enemy. The moment you come in alignment back with God, repentance, God begins to judge your enemies. Because you are back under God's covering. God begins to deal with the forces that were making life miserable for you. You don't even have to ask. He says, I will deal with your fierce enemies. Yeah. Because I'm jealous of you. You're back to me. I'm your father. It's my duty to protect you, to fight for you, and to be your defense. So verse 20 says, God will bring deliverance, spiritual, and in any other way. God will remove obstacles out of your way. Amen. Spiritual obstacles. Number 4, verse 21. All these things that have been happening to Israel, the spirit of fear has entered their lives. The nation has put them in insecurity and intimidation. And once you're under intimidation, you're under debt, you're under affliction, the enemy taunts you. And before you know it, you're living in fear. So number 4, verse 21, God says, I will break the spirit of fear of you. Because faith is come. Confidence is restored. He says, you will not fear anymore. 22, that's number 5 or 1. 22 says, once fear is gone, he says, I will make your barrenness fruitful. Everything that has caused limitations, you walk things and promotion, all these things that you don't know the spiritual hindrance, all the stuff that has caused unnecessary barrenness. It doesn't matter what the barrenness is, God says you become fruitful.
Hallelujah.
Verse 22, God will start releasing fruitfulness in what you do. It says your works of your hands will begin to prosper. Favor. Number 6 or 7, which one? 6, verse 23. God will restore joy again.
Amen.
And you begin to praise God in place of the garment of heaviness. When Israel were going through this, have you seen when somebody's in bed, your job, you're struggling, you hardly see the person smile. If they smile in church, it's just makeup. If you're going through severe problems and severe situation that nobody knows, and you know what you're going through, you just do the Christian smile, just to look good. But you know you're heavy of heart. Like Hannah, she went to church this time, she refused to pretend. She was sorrowful of heart, heavy of heart. Said, listen, I'm going to seek after God. I can't hide my misery anymore. So, number 7, is it?
Yes.
It says, God will restore joy because breakthrough has come. 6, God will restore joy because breakthrough has come. Why? Let's read that 6 very well. I like it. That's verse 23. Listen to what it says. It says, we're glad to hear you, children of Zion. Rejoice in the Lord your God, for what? He has given you the former rain moderately, and it will cause to come down for you the former and the latter rain in the first. What is he saying? He says, showers of blessing. There shall be what? Showers of blessing. Whatever happened in the past, you see, God says, I will increase the blessing.
Amen.
In other words, God is saying, there will be an overflow.
Amen.
And then he says, he will give you a garment of praise, joy, in exchange for the spirit of heaviness, depression, and oppression.
Amen.
These are the benefits of repentance. Amen?
Amen.
If I throw this microphone, it comes down. Amen?
Amen.
That's it. God is saying, these things are already there. Once you come on this path of righteousness, it will satisfy you.
Amen.
So, which number now?
Number 7,
verse 24. And the floor shall be what? Full of wheat. And the fast shall what? Overflow with wine and what? Oil. God is saying you go from scarcity, from limitation to overflow.
Amen.
That is always God's provision for man. It's overflow. Not struggling. The purpose of overflow is so that other people can benefit from your life.
Yes.
If you're full, you will feed the hungry. Amen?
Amen.
Overflow blessing. Now, all of us, many of us are going from P1, P2 to the other, paycheck to paycheck. There should be overflow.
Hallelujah.
What's the next number?
Eight.
Eight is verse 25. And you shall eat. No. I will restore to you the years that the locust has what? Eating, the canker worm, the caterpillar, the palmer worm. This aspect, God is saying, I will restore to you every material thing that you've lost. It's called the year of Jubilee. I will break the death that you carry. It will restore not only material, financial, not only blessings, but this aspect has to do with the wounds, the devastation that came. Why? Because it says the locust, the canker worm, the palmer worm, meaning you've gone through literally a press, a wine press. Sometimes you ask yourself, when will this problem end? Why? It has affected your soul. It has affected your mind. The way you think, the way you see things, the way you see life. You've been damaged, you've been hurt, you've been wounded. God says, from everything that poverty, affliction, hurts, wounds, that has happened while you were here. He said, when you come here, there's an anointing. Isaiah 66 and 60, 61 in the New Testament says, I will heal the brokenhearted. I will set the captives free. I will release the prisoners. I will heal those that are bruised. I'm telling you, the enemy does not like all the things he's stolen and all the things he's come to steal. It can cause hurt. It can cause marriages to break. It can cause children to suffer. Look at what America is going through today. Look at where the church is today. Amen?
Amen.
The pain, the unspoken pain, the misery. God is saying this to us individually and corporately. Once we come here with fruit, these are the benefits. Because it's a promise. What number are we now?
Nine.
Verse 25 again. It says, nine is verse 26. And I could go on verse 25. It has to do with deliverance. But that's not, I'm just giving you some points. Verse 26, it says, that's nine. It says, and you shall eat in plenty and be satisfied and praise the name of the Lord your God. See, you know, you start worshiping God. That has done wonderfully with you, and my people shall no more be ashamed. God will take away reproach. Amen. God will take away those things that made us ashamed. Amen. And give us a new garment. Amen.
Amen.
And we'll be able to share testimonies.
Amen.
Psalms 126 says, people will say God has done great things.
Amen.
And you will say God has done great things.
Amen.
For me. Which number are we now? 10. 10. And there shall be no more reproach. Amen.
Amen.
Disgrace. Past will be restored.
Amen.
Your past will be forgotten. Joseph named his two children. He said, because God has caused me to prosper in the land of my affliction, I have forgotten my sorrows.
Amen.
Ephraim and Manasseh.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
Then finally, I combine from 28 to 32. Spiritual restoration. It says, afterwards, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. The sons and daughters, your deeds, your God is saying, I will restore and open heaven again.
Amen.
Where the gifts will flow naturally.
Amen.
The power of God will be restored for healing. Miracles will be restored. Relationship with God. Open heaven. These are the provisions. Because this is the only part. It's called a part of righteousness. The part of holiness. God cannot walk any other path. You can go here, you can go there, until you come back here. That's called repentance. Amen?
Amen.
And all this has to do with Psalms. If you read the rest of it, it says, there will be wonders here, wonders there, signs there, signs. Major shakings. But it says, the best way to describe this outpouring and what God is saying here is Psalms 91. Once again you come to this part, God says, I'll restore you spiritually. Now God says, I will keep you in the secret place. He says, I will shake everything that can be shaken, but that those things that of me are what? Established. So all this shaking and all these things that will come upon the world, God is saying, once you come back here, you should not be afraid. You should not worry. Because you are under God's covering. Amen? But if you are here and the shaking is taking place, you should be afraid. You should be afraid. Because you see 1,000 fall here. You see 10,000. And you'll be afraid. But if you are here, he says it shall not come near your door. Instead, with your eyes, you see the reward. Because in this part, God will give his angels charge over you. That is a promise. That's why the devil did not want Adam and Eve to repent. He wanted them to hide the offense and the sin. As long as they hid it, the devil put them back here. But the Bible says if you confess your sins and forsake them, God will show you mercy. You're back to mercy and grace. So my brothers and sisters, that's what this 40 days is meant to do. Amen?
Amen.
Fast, Isaiah 58 says, is this not the fast I've ordained? To do this, to do this, to do this. Why? Let me tell you why fasting, when you mention fasting. Fasting really helps to break the fallow grounds of our soul. My brothers and sisters, when you've been hurt and wounded, when you've been betrayed, a lot of things are happening. When you've been cursed, we all go through things. Or we pray for something, God is, looks like heaven has never answered us. We're living in affliction. Let me tell you, there are things hidden in your soul you don't know anymore. So what the soul looks like, the mind, the will, and emotion, looks like a ground outside there. Hard and covered. You can't plant anything there and it just grows. What do you have to do? You have to break up that ground, break it up. When you break that ground, you see stones, you see weeds, you will see things, you see all these things. If you plant anything there, it doesn't grow. Your heart can't receive anymore. There's a blockage, there's hurt, there's wound, there's all these things. You see, that's why it says you plant, it can't grow because offense comes. You plant, the birds come to eat it. Why? Because the ground has not been broken through a consecrated fast. First, you remove those stones, remove the weeds. That's repentance. Then there is a fertile ground for God to heal and begin restoration.
Amen.
That's fasting. Thank God for Joel. Thank God for the prophets that are always calling us back to God. Always telling us the need for us to. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Let me ask you, when was the last time you told somebody that offended you, I'm sorry? When was the last time Super Honey came to you and said, I'm sorry? She's thinking. Amen.
Amen.
Words. But when you really mean I'm sorry, it restores your relationship with somebody that's hurt, somebody that's wounded. When somebody really, really hurts you, and they come to you and they say, brother, I've wronged you, I'm so sorry, forgive me. Do you know the person is feeling a hurt, he's feeling a hurt. When you come and say, please forgive me, I'm sorry. Please, I'm begging you to forgive me. That's called humility. You cannot do that if you don't have humility. Because humility always tells you, he deserves it. He's wrong. He shouldn't have done that to me. You see things, pride makes you see things from the way you want to say it. But humility makes you say it from the way God wants you to say it. You overcome evil with good. That's God's way, not mine. Man is an eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. Amen? He deserves, he knocked me out, knocking back. That's where our country is today. If I ask you to forgive me, brother, if you forgive me, what happens? See, when he forgives me, he clears my heart. Clears his heart, and then he opens the window for God to heal us. And we are restored. But without that, we are divided. Because there's a war. What is the war? We are wounded. And pride says, I don't trust him anymore. Mm. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Tom, hallelujah.
Amen.
The Holy Ghost is speaking.
Amen.
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 So if you're married here, look at your husband or your wife and say, I'm sorry.
Amen.
Super honey. I forgive you everything even till next year. Ahead of time. Forgive me too. I kneel down. I'm sorry. I don't want to miss the blessings of God.
Amen.
It's not worth it. Coca, did you tell Cynthia you're sorry? All the time. Amen. That's my brother. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Miriam.
Yes, sir.
You say it all the time, I know.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
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 Students, families, if we can all learn to say, I'm sorry, to take us across the line. How many times people leave church feeling bad?
Mm-hmm.
All they want to hear is, I didn't mean to do that. I didn't mean to say that. I'm sorry. Otito. Opari. It's finished. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Our problem is pride. That's
Amen.
It. So today, we are in this 40 days and in this season, God wants to heal us. God wants to restore us. God wants to bless us. But he has to have fruit of repentance. So as we continue these 40 days, if there's anything that you feel, ask God to break that ground and show you, God, what you need to say, I'm sorry to God. What you need to say, I'm sorry to man. Amen?
Amen.
And I want to tell all of you in sincerity, I'm human. I don't see like God all the time. I might have done things or said things or acted a way I might not have been very, very pleasing to you. You probably you're not having a good day or you're having a good day. Well, I didn't pay attention. I'll be honest with you, I didn't do anything intentional. But I know unintentional things can create intentional hearts. So I want to publicly say I'm sorry. If anything, always come to me. Because sometimes people don't even realize I don't know that I've hurt you. If you come to me, then you'll give me opportunity. Release you, because I would rather I'll do anything to let you know I didn't do that intentionally. So I just want to let you know I love you. I thank God for you, and none of you will come out of these 40 days the same.
Amen.
If we do this, and God will bless us. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let's just bow our heads for this next few minutes. Super honey. Please come and pray for us. Amen.
Amen.
Lead us and just pray.
Father, we thank you for the example that you have given to us. Lord, that even on the cross, that we're killing you, the people that did you wrong, and you said, Father, forgive them. For they know not what they do. Forgive us, O God, when we carry hurts. Forgive us when we hurt others. Forgive us when we live in anger and unforgiveness. Lord, teach us how to be like you. How to release those things, O God, and release people from those things that hold us bound. Today, Father, we ask for that grace. That after these 40 days, none of us will carry unforgiveness
Amen.
In our hearts anymore.
Amen.
Change us, O God.
Amen.
Help us to be like Jesus.
Amen.
And Father, we pray today for everyone in this room and everyone hearing us. Lord, where there are hurts, sometimes these hurts go really deep. We ask that you do a work in our lives.
Amen.
Take away the anger and the pain.
Amen.
Take away the bitterness and the unforgiveness.
Amen.
Take away, oh God, even where we cannot help ourselves, help us. That from now onwards will be people, oh God, that are quick to forgive.
Amen.
And quick to repent.
Amen.
And today we access those blessings, oh God, that you've released to us.
Amen.
As a result of our repentance.
Amen.
Thank you that we'll never be the same again.
Amen.
The 11 things you've given to us today, Father, we receive them.
Amen.
And we leave this place knowing that they will manifest in our lives.
Amen.
We give you praise and we give you thanks. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Somebody ought to shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.